Hello, welcome back to CJSF. I'm Burnaby Martin, and this is Charlotte. Our open mic show today is about negotiation, AI, and entrepreneurship. And our guest today is Nicole. She has multi-experience in different industry. However, they're all connected. And now we're letting Nicole to share with us how does she deal with the fear and also to prepare herself for the potential rejection. So Nicole, please.
Well, as I shared, I have worked in a lot of spaces within the art space, but I've also applied to a lot of jobs in the art space that I didn't get. And I find that that is the first, it was like it gave me my first example of right. what it's like to be rejected, right? Like when you either don't hear from a job or you actually get the email that says, sorry, we regret to inform you that, you know, you didn't sort of make it, is when I learned, okay, like you're not always going to get the opportunity that you're looking for, right?
Right.
And so to me, it didn't, I think that when you hear a lot of no's, it is discouraging.
Right.
We're human. Right?
Right.
But for me, I realized like it's a law of numbers, mm-hmm. right? So the more that you connect with, the higher chance that somebody's going to say yes. And that's yeah. kind of what gets my mind going. I'll be very honest, I do have to do things like sometimes in nature or whether it's meditation or like just other things to help ground me and to help me not get like super discouraged, because entrepreneurship isn't easy.
Right.
You know, it isn't easy to put so much energy into something that you're passionate about and to not necessarily get the response that you're looking for, right?
So, right. Yeah, so I also feel like I had the mindset when I get started, I have a plan and trying to make it really perfect. And then started to do it because I've been thinking about it back and forth. So when I start to do it, I expect that it will just reach the goal that I wanted.
Right.
However, it does not do that at all.
Right.
And after multiple times, I just got mental breakdowns
yeah.
because I was like, I have no idea. I just want this and it did not work.
Yeah.
But after a while, I realized this pattern just keep going. Then I know it's really about experimentation
yes.
where we go try things and okay, it doesn't work. So we should expect the rejection. We should expect the failures mm-hmm. and trying to be prepared but rejected and failed. Mm-hmm. And then we understand, all right, okay, what is the problem? Mm-hmm. Which part of it went wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So we can iterate from there. And that way, because I personally adjusted my expectations, so
right.
I don't experience so much of the mental breakdown
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So how about you?
Well, the first thing that you had, not the first thing, but one of the things that you said that I was like, yeah, I had to get rid of that mindset is about wanting to make things perfect.
Right.
So I mean, we're imperfect human beings, right? Like
right.
there's no perfect person, right? So when I realized that we're not perfect people, I realized that I can't force myself to create perfection if us as human beings are not even perfect, right? So
right.
when I started to work that with my brain, it helped me to be less harsh on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed me to understand that, like, you just have to be open to pivot
right.
all the time, right?
Right.
So, you know, entrepreneurship is trial and error, really and truly. Like,
mm-hmm.
we come up with an idea. Maybe we did a little bit of market research. Maybe we asked our friends. Maybe we actually did, like, legitimate research and did surveys and things like that.
Right.
But even if people tell you that they love the product, the minute or the service, the minute that you launch it doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to be coming running with their purses to pay, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't mean that. So I've had to learn, like, sometimes I'm the one that thinks it's such a great idea, and then when I put it out to the world, it doesn't get the same kind of traction. So
mm-hmm.
then I have to pivot. And one of the things that helps me pivot is, for me personally, is social media. Because social media, like, I'm on there not just using it as a platform to promote either the things that I'm doing or share my life, but it's to see what people are interested in.
Right.
And I know that a lot of entrepreneurs don't like social media and they don't go on it and they say, I hate social media. But I'm like, you kind of have to be there to understand, like, what are people really into? Right? And with some of the social media platforms that are out there, it's not about perfection anymore.
Right.
It's showing people real and sharing real stories and sharing, like, their ups and downs and showing people that, like, this journey is not perfect.
Okay. Well, that's really awesome. Before we get into that, maybe we will have one more music.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to share a little bit about how do we get into the field and being prepared to fail. But however, we do start from somewhere.
Yes.
Like what you did with trials in your existed work, your current work, and then turning to a bigger business.
For sure. We'll chat about that after, for sure.
Awesome.
Oh,
Hello, welcome back. The song just played was Destino by Pink Martini. And welcome to our open mic show today. We're talking about negotiation and all other things that are relevant to entrepreneurship. And we have our guest, Nicole, and she's going to share about her tricks and from her experiences of how to be prepared but not trying to be trapped by the perfectionism.
Yes, because we were talking about, as the song was playing, we were talking about perfectionism again, and the fact that, like, I think people really like to see mistakes happen, and they like to see things that are not so curated, because it shows authenticity, right? Because in reality, in our everyday lives, like, we're not perfect, right? Like, things happen all the time, and I feel like when you are less showing your perfection, people can relate to you more. And if they can relate to you, because think, like, honestly, as an entrepreneur, what I've learned is that people will buy your product or your service because of you.
Right.
In many, many cases. Sometimes they'll know about, like, you know, they will fall in love with the product, but most times they fall in love with the creator. And that's why sharing your story about how you came up with your idea, the journey to get to where you are, is so important, because people really get connected to that, and then they want to see, they want to support you with that or with any new things that you do.
Right.
They'll literally want to support you for that. So that's why, like, it is important to be prepared, of course, and in many cases you do have to really be, like, rigid with things. For example, food, right? Like, I can't be, like, lackadaisy with things and whatever, because, you know, people can get sick if you don't handle food properly, right? Like, there are, you know, things that you do need to do, but in terms of, like, how you appear to the world and how you present yourself online, and even some of the events that you might even do, I find that people are really drawn to realness.
Right.
Just being sort of real and imperfect, and yes, you make mistakes, and being able to, like, have humor. That's what has helped me. Like, you know, we talked earlier about, like, the rejections and how to take that, or, you know, whether it is with jobs or whether it is with potential clients, right?
Like, right.
A lot of times the rejection doesn't come with a no. The rejection just comes with silence.
Right.
And then that means that you don't even get feedback as to, like, what is the issue, right? Like,
right.
So it's like you kind of have to, like, what I've learned for me and what has helped is that if I'm sending out emails or trying to reach people about something that I'm doing, it could be, like, a dinner party, it could be a cooking class, and if I'm not getting any traction at all, then I'm like, okay, maybe now's not the time.
Right.
Sometimes it's not even the product. Sometimes it's like we decide to launch at summer, and most of your client is traveling. They're in a different mood. They don't want to spend in that way. They just want to spend on travel and things like that, right? They don't necessarily want to buy your product at that time, right? So sometimes it's the timing that we launch something at the time where people, like, might not have a lot of money to spend, right? Like, one of the times that is really hard is, like, launching, let's say, in January, when, like, if people celebrate, you know, the holiday season, a lot of times they don't have money to support a new business, right? They might support businesses that they already know, but they might not support a brand new business. So maybe not launching in January, maybe launch in February, right?
Yeah.
And you choose. I think that sometimes, like, we forget that we make decisions to do things, but Sometimes we're really prepared and we've like studied the market and whatever, but even things can happen out of our control, right? Like, for example, when I started my current business that I have, I started it during COVID.
Right.
And I started during COVID because I had some money at the time and I was able to leave a job that I was working and really focus on the business. So I was able to like fund myself, fund the business, focus on it. It was great. But the business that I was launching really relies on community. It relies on being in person. It relies on that, right?
And right.
We weren't doing that. So I was able to pivot and do some things online. And that was good, but it's not the same revenue generator as if I were doing things in person. So sometimes it's out of our control.
Right.
And you just have to learn to pivot, kind of thing, and always have like ideas, like, and not be afraid to like turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right.
I agree. What you mentioned about, we should have the space and tolerance to make the mistakes.
Yes.
And you also mentioned sometimes that our clients, or just people in general, they love authenticity.
Yes.
So making mistakes is not necessarily a bad thing. Even showing them to people that, hey, I'm just not perfectly great at this, but it's okay, especially for creators, for entrepreneurs as a person. People like who you are and that they're trying to support you. My question is, how would you suggest us to balance between making mistakes but also keeping the authenticity?
For sure. So like, I feel that if you're making mistakes a lot on one area, perhaps it's time to look for an expert in that area that can help you, right? And in the beginning, it's like, oh, how can you do that? I don't have any money. But let's not forget that you can barter, right? So, for example, like, I've been able to get, like, in the beginning when I started out, my photography skills weren't the greatest, right? Like, it's much better now. I can do a lot of things myself. I can create my own social media ads myself. I'm very, like, you know, I feel very skilled in that, but I wasn't always. And so I've actually worked with people that, like, I have given them, because I have a clothing line, so I've given them clothing from the clothing line. I've made food for them, you know, and so sometimes you might not have the actual cash to be able to exchange, but you can also exchange some of the services that you offer and then work with somebody who has more of an expertise in something so that you can get the things out, right? And social media, I use that a lot because there is a lot of entrepreneurs that are fearful of it, right? And they feel like, and I think it's just because there's so many options now. And I know when social media first came out, like, people felt pressure to be on every single platform that there was, right? And that's not for everybody, right? So, like, number one, you know, learning what you're more comfortable with and using that platform. But let's say social media just isn't your thing. Maybe it's, like, worth your best interest to work with somebody that has more expertise. So for me, my current business now is incorporated. And one of the things, the benefits about being an incorporated business is that there are some benefits that you can have access to. So, for example, I have access to a platform called Ripen, and that allows me to work with students, but Ripen pays them. So even though I am not paying them out of pocket, they're not working for free for me, because that's one of the things, I don't support that. I'm just, I feel like if I'm going to work with somebody, like, I want you to get some kind of currency, right? Whether it is cash or it is, like, in terms of, like, what we call in-kind, so it's in, like, services, products, opportunities, whatever, right? But it's, to me, I just don't like to do it for free. So this website, Ripen, I've been able to use it. I think I've worked with it for the past couple years. And sometimes I work with an individual student who will work with me on a project that I need help with. Usually it's my website. So even though social media is my thing, the website, can I work on my website? Yes. is it my, like, the best talent of mine? No.
Mm.
Right? So I work with students, and they are able to help me with a challenge, and then they also get paid once they've completed it.
Mm.
The other option that Ripen has offered me is also, like, schools will reach out to me, and they'll say that, you know, we have students in a computer science course. They are going to be able to work with entrepreneurs to solve a problem that you may have, and then they get credit for it at the end of it. So I currently have some students at Algonquin College out of Ottawa who are working on my booking system on my website for me, right? And then they will get credit when the semester is done. So that is, like, a route that I go to if I am not an expert in something. Another example is, like, not everybody's good with numbers. Just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean that you know how to do your books and whatever. I'm not that person. So, you know, yes, you need to have an accountant if you have a corporation, but even if you're, like, a solopreneur, right? I think it's a good idea to connect with a bookkeeper that can help with your books and keep things in order, unless that is your talent. Because some people start a business, they could open up a salon, but they're really good when it comes to numbers and things like that, right? So that is what has helped me, is, like, working with other people that are experts, and then that helps you to not, like, be so, like, stuck or frozen in having to be perfect about something.
Oh, that's awesome. You mentioned about so many skill set that you had along the way that you collected to adapt to the new world and to sort of promote your business, and kind of also share some responsibilities that you need to carry, but that's not your strength, or you don't have to spend too much time on it. Social media is a really interesting topic. We were thinking that in the AI world, what do you think about using AI for entrepreneurs to carry or share some of the responsibilities and maximizing the productivity?
So for me, I've used it to maximize a lot of things, especially to help sort my ideas.
Right.
So, like, I find that, you know, with whatever platform you use, like, whether it's ChatGPT, Gemini, whatever it is that you use, I think it's really important to, like, have all the prompts that you need to prompt AI, right?
Okay.
So, which means you need to know your business. You can't just, like, ask AI to, you know, do everything for you and you don't know the material, right? Like, you should be able to, like, tell it to do what you want to do, and it kind of just helps to, it's like having an assistant in the way that I look at it, right? Like, I am able to get some things done a little bit quicker because it can do it faster, right? But
right.
I still have to provide it the information, right? So you should still know your business, but it's been helpful, right? Like, I'm still, like, even though, yes, I work with students sometimes and things like that, there are, there's a lot to do when you're an entrepreneur. There's so much, right? And so I find that AI is helpful, especially, let's say, money, like, budgeting and, you know, doing, like, projections and forecasts might not be your thing. AI can help at least give you a snapshot.
Right.
It doesn't mean that that should be your only resource, but I feel like it can at least give you a snapshot so that if you are working with a bookkeeper, you can now give them some material to be like, okay, so this is where I am in my books and things like that, right? So, and then even down to, like, AI, social media, like, it has been able to help with creating, like online ads for me in a certain way, because you're prompting it to create a digital image or a background of something, right? So again, you do need to know your business, but I think it can be helpful.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. So there are a lot to dig into it, but it's about to reached to the end of our session today. However, next Thursday at the same time, we will continue this conversation and let Nicole and also myself share things that we learned along the way about negotiation, AI, and entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
Let's close up our show with the last song called Conception by Orchida.
Your head as powerful as your face.